So meditation for me ended up turning into some sort of weird competition with myself.
How does that?
Well, here's why. A few years ago, we used to do like there'd be new tech right around the time of the Consumer Electronics Show, mm-hmm. the one in Toronto that you'd go to, and you'd be given new technologies to try out, right? And something that was given to me that I never would have thought to buy for myself was the Muse meditation headband.
Sure.
As we, you know, talk under the umbrella of Bell Let's Talk Day, or 5 cents for every text, call, tweet, TikTok, you name it, on social media using the hashtag Bell Let's Talk, contributes 5 cents for mental health initiatives across Canada. So I got the Muse headband, and it syncs with an app on your phone, right? So what it is, it's directly from the website. It's a multi-sensor meditation device that provides real-time feedback on your brain activity, heart rate, breathing, and body movements to help you build a consistent meditation practice. Here's how it becomes a competition. You can set it up with various noises, and like birds. In the case for me, I set it up with ocean, the sound of the ocean.
Yeah.
Because my place on the East Coast is right on the ocean, which
sure.
is my the most relaxing place in the world for me. There's no place I'd rather be. Just about anywhere, anytime. And that's what I would hear when I meditated with the meditation headband. However, the better you were doing with your breathing,
mm-hmm.
the better you're doing with your heartbreak, Freudian slip there, how am I doing? With your heart rate, the louder the waves would get. So I would be listening to myself and I'd be trying to be calm, and then the waves would get louder and I'd be like, you're doing good, how loud can you get it? So I was competing with my own brain.
Oh, interesting.
And then the waves would recede because I was getting out of the meditation space, and they would recede again. So then I just forget about it, then the waves would get better. So I never really knew when I was done if I was just trying to better myself, like beat my step count on a Fitbit, right? That kind of thinking, or if I really was managing to meditate.
Yeah.
I found it helped a little bit, but I kind of think the way that you do it's probably the better way. I mean, tech is great. If it works for you, wonderful. There's a reason you can't buy an Apple Watch anywhere. Clearly, they're popular, but you don't need anything for the way that you do it.
No, I mean, I like to listen to kind of like a, I don't know, it's a nature scene that I like. It's a like a babbling brook sort of thing with some, I don't know, birds singing, that sort of thing. That's what I like to use. But I just find it's a good way to turn off the world and reset kind of where your head is at, especially if you're being anxious and stuff like that. I've used it while on stage at our In-Depth and Interactive to calm down because I thought I was going to have a panic attack. And so I've used it to turn things down there. Jeff Warren is one of the world's foremost teachers when it comes to teaching meditation. You can find him on the Calm app and also 10% Happier. Jeff, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Happy to be on with you guys.
Congratulations, by the way, Jeff, if you've managed to get someone like Jim to sit still long enough to meditate. You can retire at this point, sir. You've accomplished it.
I'm just resting from here on in. That's it.
Yeah. I guess, you know, I'm super ADD, Jeff, and one thing that I find a little frustrating when I talk to people about meditation is people are so dismissive because they're like, oh, I tried it and I couldn't concentrate, or I tried it and, you know, the voices just kept on coming back or got distracted, that sort of thing. And I'm like, you're not special. I don't mean that in a bad way, but that makes you the normal person. You're no more unusual than anybody else that has started meditating, because that happens to everybody.
Well, you said it. I mean, that's the thing. It's not about getting rid of the thoughts. It's just not being bothered by them, you know, and that's a kind of, there's a little bit of a learning there, but it's a super valuable learning, because it's a kind of learning of like popping out of your anxiety, worry, planning stream and just sort of watching it or listening to it, kind of bemused, like, wow, look at that thing go. That thing is just really tearing a strip through my brain.
Yeah.
Good thing I'm not totally identified with it anymore. So you just, it's kind of the learning of being okay with that. And so I think just managing expectations at the beginning, you know, is just like, hey, this stuff's not going to necessarily go away, although it does cool out over time a little bit, and realizing that's the case, and then being open to kind of experimenting with a few different things. You know, it's like maybe feeling the breath or maybe listening to sounds or something like that. I mean, just because you do it once and you don't like it doesn't mean it's not going to work for you. Pretty much anything, it's always going to work for somebody. You just kind of find the right way in. That's how I think of it.
So with what we've all been going through over the last couple of years, I would have to think, Jeff, that more and more people are trying to learn this way of trying to adjust their lives a little bit to be in a better place.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the silver lining of the pandemic, I guess, is, you know, it's kind of a funny thing to say, because it's, on the one hand, it throws us into basically, in addition to the health pandemic, there's a mental health pandemic. So everyone is more anxious, more less regulated, but the silver lining is that it showed everyone that that's happening. Mm. And all of a sudden, because everyone's at home, all of these practices, teachers, modalities, it all went online, and so it's a lot more accessible. So two things: A, the problem is more clear. People know now that mental health is this fragile thing. They're more aware of it. And two, there's a lot more resources that are suddenly starting to become available because of that. So that's kind of my take on the past 2 years.
What would you tell people that meditation does? I'll tell people what it does for me. I mean, if I get out of bed and I'm, you know, worried about something, or is this or that going to go the right way for me, I'll spend some time, I'll focus on my breathing, and then I'll put myself in a place where I have really enjoyed being. And if it's having, like, I'll envision myself, maybe I'll remember the last good show that I had, so I'll go like back 15 years or something like that, and I'll just envision how that feels, right, if that's what I'm worried about. Or I'll envision an encounter that I want to have or having later going well, or I'll put myself in a place that I really enjoyed. And so those are the kind of things that I'll do. That's the real quick way of explaining it. But can you explain what it, and I've done it, like I said, I did it when I was on stage at an In-Depth and Interactive. That's where we meet the listeners, and we do like a question and answer. And I was up on stage and I was like, man, I suck. Nobody cares about anything that I have to say. This is going to be brutal. And I was about to freak out. And I just had to like calm myself for a moment. And I was kind of doing it with my eyes open and not just focusing on my breathing, and just trying to get myself in a position where I didn't care. And that's where I put myself. So we got to take a break in a second. I hope you can hold on after that, because we do have, yep, to take a quick break. But is there an eye level way that you would explain it to people?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it just calms you down. It calms the thoughts. So even when they're there, you're not so stuck in them. So you're more available to what's actually going on in front of you. So the thought tells you, oh my God, this is going to be a terrible thing, or I'm worried about this, I'm this about that, and you're just believing the thoughts. But this way, you kind of just get some space, and then they start to cool out a bit, and you realize there's actually no problem. Mm. There's just whatever the situation is. So I feel like I can, you know, before I do an interview or something, especially if I just practice it, but at this point, I can just do it on the fly. I'm basically just settled. You know, I'm not worried about stuff. I just know that whatever, however it goes, is how it's going to go, and I'm more present for it. And so, like, my suffering and it's just cut out of my life, like, huge. And the anxiety, all that stuff, is barely there anymore, if not totally gone. And I used to have a lot of that.
So, if I'm correct, Jim, what's going to happen is we're going to come back, and Jeff's going to kind of walk us through an exercise. So I can only assume that it's important that we tell people not to do this when they drive, or can,
yes,
they do this when,
yeah,
they drive?
Yeah. Yes. Do not do it while you're driving is what
pull
I
over,
would say.
Or you're going to do this in your home. But Jeff Warren, meditation expert in the Calm app, and 10% Happier, the book, you should check it out, is going to rejoin us when The Rush continues.
Many misconceptions, I think, about meditation, including that you're going to be, I don't know, I mean, Howard Stern meditates, and maybe you don't like Howard Stern, but he's certainly not some sort of wallflower, although he might not necessarily enjoy socializing a lot if you listen to him. But what I mean to say is that it's not as maybe New Age or airy-fairy as you might think that it is. I think people in all different walks of life meditate, and perhaps some of the most successful people around do it. Use it as a tool to calm those negative voices that might be in the back of your head, or might not be in the back of your head, might just be right in front of your face on the text board.
I have done karaoke on the radio.
Yeah.
I have been pierced in the genital region.
Oh, boy.
On the radio. I have done just about everything you could possibly do on the radio, but I don't think I've ever taken part in live meditation before. So this will be a first for me. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. So, Jeff, thank you very much for your time again, by the way. Jeff Warren is a meditation expert and teacher. You can find him on the Calm app. He's also on the 10% Happier podcast, which is a book, an app, and all sorts of other things. Jeff, before we do the meditation, who are the type of people that, again, I want to get back to the people who's like, everybody's going to think, oh, it's not for me. But again, I'm super ADD. I don't know. I don't know about you, Jay, but we're hard guys, I think, to focus. So
that's one way to put it.
What walks of life and professions have you taught?
Oh man, I'm like all of them. I mean, everyone nowadays, so many people meditate. It's no longer just like a weird hippie thing. It's kind of a mental fitness thing, or just a basic mental hygiene. It's like brushing your teeth. And by the way, I'm ADHD. I got an ADHD diagnosis too.
Yeah.
And it's not really, you can still meditate even with that, you know? And so I've taught to RCMP. I've taught to other cops, to kids, to teenagers, to, corporate types, everything, regular people. And most of the people I find that are into it now, they're regular people. They're just people who are trying to live their life and just want to have a little more sanity and calm in the center of it. And so I think a lot of the baggage around it is lifted up. And now people are kind of zeroing in on a tighter signal on, hey, what's the basic stuff around attention that we need to do without having to put all the window dressing on it? Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah. How did you find it? Because, well, here we are on Mental Health Day, where 5 cents from every text and or tweet or use of social media goes towards mental health initiatives here in the country of Canada, whether that's TikTok or Facebook or MySpace. And so Facebook. Nice. Here we are talking about this today. And I'm not trying to say everybody should do meditation, whether it's therapy, whether it's talking to a doctor and getting medicated, or it is meditation. How did you find this to be the tool that worked for you?
I was writing a book. I was a journalist, so I was working for the CBC for The Current, and then I was doing a lot of stories on mental health stuff. And because I was having my own challenges, so I was doing it as a journalist, particularly. I was like, what can I learn here? And then I decided to write a book about some of what I was learning, kind of about the brain. And that was, of course, at that time, there was beginning to be a lot of interest in what these meditators knew. And so I decided to do it. And I had a lot of the same reservations, I think, that everyone does. I mean, the main one was like, I think I'm going to suck at this. I'm like the anti-Buddha. But it turned out to be like helpful. I could see right away how it would help with my anxiety, and I just got more and more into it. And eventually, just through that, I had been now at that point meditating quite a bit, and then I had a teacher who was like, "Yo, you should teach this because you're into it, you like it." So I started to do that. But I definitely, from the beginning, my interest was in just keeping it, making it as real as possible. It is real. It's not. It's just basic, like I said. And actually, I don't even think everyone needs to say, sit down and formally meditate in some way. But I do think everyone should know what the skills are inside a meditation practice.
Well, can you take us through one? And again, if people are driving, all of the disclaimers, if we need to make them, they should be, I think, evident.
I'll weave it into the meditation, the disclaimers
around
it. And I'll weave in the three main skills into the practice. So let's do it.
To close my eyes?
Yeah, if you want, close your eyes, or you just have them open and just sort of like looking at the ground in front of you. If you're driving, you should be looking at the road.
Right.
But you can still connect to, in a sense, what I'm saying, but still make your primary meditation object traffic. But for everybody else, you know, you either close your eyes or keep them open and, take a few breaths. I mean, first thing to know is extending the out-breath, lengthening your out-breath itself can start to kind of relax the body. So you make the out-breath a bit long. Maybe you deliberately take some moment, even if you are driving, just to kind of relax your shoulders, see if the shoulders are stiff and see if you can relax them a bit and relax your face and your gut. You know, you can let it spill out over your belt. And then, so you're just sitting here being. The first insight of meditation is, actually, you can choose what you want to pay attention to. Most of the time, we just default paying attention to our worries. Don't do that. Pay attention to breathing. If you're driving, pay attention to traffic. Or pay attention to the sound. Just choose something different. And if you're not driving and you're just sitting here, see if you can kind of get into the feeling of the breath or get into some body sensation, like you're enjoying feeling it. It's like slowly the ratio of your attention fills up there. Now, there's going to be background thoughts. They're still happening. The equanimity muscle is not getting uptight about that. Letting it be imperfect, letting there be people in the space around you making noise. It's the no big dealness muscle. You sit, you follow your breath, you don't make a big deal of it. Maybe you notice some of the subtler details. That's a kind of clarity muscle. You're driving, you're still looking at the road. What I just gave you is basically a workout that you can do anytime. You don't make a big deal of it. You just sit and you be and you follow your breath or you listen to music or whatever you're going to put your attention on that's not your worries. And then you get into it. You start to get clear about when you're jumping into your thoughts and when you're not. And come back to the body. Breathing out. Just sitting here being a human being. That's what we're talking about. That's a meditation.
That was a meditation. And so that's a good starting point.
Whew.
That was what, two and a half minutes. Usually,
that's a meditation.
That's a meditation. But
you
usually,
just did it. Everyone listening just did it.
Yeah. And that's how simple it can be.
No doubt. So don't make it any more complicated.
Is there a danger? Because I noticed, Jeff, that I was mindful, but I also noticed that I'm also mildly narcoleptic. So there's a danger that I'm going to fall asleep too. Is that a bad thing if you kind of nod off when you're doing it?
Well, I mean, if your intention is just to relax a bit, maybe you need to have a nap.
Right.
Nod off. That's okay. But I mean, there is a value in learning how to stay present and awake without needing things to be any different. So that's the skill you're trying to build. You're trying to build up the capacity to keep this centered, sane, kind of like a Fonzarelli cool in the middle of the life keep going off. And so if you're dozing through it, then you're not really doing that skill, although it can be really nice to get a bit of a break that way too. It's just a different thing.
I'll keep working on it.
Do you have there's these apps we talk about, Calm. There's also 10% Happier. Do you have a really good, I've got about 30 seconds here, an entry level place that you would suggest people go?
Well, Insight Timer is a free app, so you can do that. Also, I do a thing on Sunday nights that's free on YouTube. I got a bunch of free stuff on my website. People can look at that. I do have a 30-day how to meditate course on Calm that's really popular, but that's one of the subscribe ones. So although Calm, a lot of people get it with their insurance and with their other companies offer it.
Interesting.
So that'd be another good place to start.
That's great. Jeff, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your day, everybody.
All right. That's meditation expert. You can find him on the Calm app and 10% Happier. I want to give that stuff out, and we'll put it on the socials maybe, Jay, because maybe people don't want to get into the app and they want a starting off place that might make that a little easier. And so they don't feel like it's as, I don't know, hippy dippy or new age as it actually needs to be.
A new app for some is the OnlyFans page.
What?
Application. What? Yes. Find out why one policewoman is no longer a policewoman. And yes, it has to do with your OnlyFans.
No.
Details on that and a lot more in a calm, cool, collected hour of The Rush is next.